If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the most radiant one, Jesus the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is soul vision, the ability to see what God is doing in the world. So let's take a deep breath and just allow that anointing to flow down over the top of your head like warm honey. Feel it cascading down your arms. Feel it dripping into your brain, into your mind, into your visioning, into your soul, into your personal will, your thinking, your feeling, the impulses that cause you to act. Offer them all at this time to the instruments which import a higher quality of life and expression into this world. That's why you've come, you know. We were hand-picked and individually set into this time-space continuum for exactly what's happening on the planet. You are skilled technicians of light, tributaries of supernatural grace and power, and abilities that are now to be released and exercised. And this series of seminars now is particularly encoded and sequenced to gradually reveal the keys for our ground crew of celestial emissaries, so that you can access, enter, and live in this kingdom of God, this higher dimensional state of awareness, so that you can be in that celestial realm even while you're walking on earth in a very ordinary way, but exercising extraordinary and supernaturally quickened gifts. So we have a major job to do right now. And it's in this physical body that we're wearing. We must open the higher spiritual dimensions for humanity. It's no longer about us. It's about why we're here and to be about the work, the bigger work and purpose that we have been called to fulfill. Many of us have had a drastic life interruption lately. That is really positioning and strengthening and testing to see how much you can walk without knowing where you're going, how much you can trust without details, how much you can release the personal. And regardless of how you feel or what's going on, rise beyond into a superhuman ability to give and forgive, to look, see, and overlook, and to see beyond through a higher ability of seership, which we'll call soul vision. So we must do this opening of the dimensions for humanity in a way that draws people's attention to what God is doing, not to ourselves personally. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what God is doing. However, we need to be able to access those higher dimensional levels personally, ourselves, before we can make them available for others. So you certainly can't open a dimensional portal that you yourself do not have access or authority to enter. So the first place, as always, to examine is your own life. And look and see which dimension you are living in right now as a daily default setting or point of view. Are you in the world? Or are you living actually right now in the kingdom of heaven? Your experience of your life will let you know immediately. Because if you're in the world, you're going to be in angst. You're going to be worried about the economy. You're going to be stressed because you don't have any work. You're going to be very concerned about what the president is doing or not doing. You're going to be watching the news. You're going to be criticizing and blaming and pointing the finger at everybody and everything and what's wrong with them and what they should be doing and what they're not doing. Hey, you're in the world. You're in the world. And that's why it feels so scary and dense and stuck and boring and confining. Did you think you would have a good payoff for being focused into the world of darkness under the ruler of the god of the psychic material realms? You know, what you're experiencing and feeling provides you very good feedback. Pay attention. If you're miserable and can't wait to get out of this blankety-blank-blank world, that's going to keep you very securely attached to this world. Because hating the world is like saying, oh, I got to be here, I got to stay here. Hating the world is actually, hatred is actually the expression, the default setting of the world. It hates the light. It hates the things of God. It hates you if you are of the light, because it's a world governed by darkness. That's why you have come into the world to be the light of the world. When Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world. But he said, now that I go to the Father, you are the light of the world. Only we're a collective light. We are a group. A collective light bearer, if you will. So if you're living in the kingdom of God, probably you have a very peaceful mind and you're pretty happy and pretty proactive in being involved in doing something that's going to make the world brighter and better. Doesn't much matter what it is, it's the attitude with which you're doing it. So your interests and what you spend time focused upon, your habits and tastes and preferences, and your very character reveal what kingdom you're living in. And it really matters very little what you do in terms of your particular job. You can live in the kingdom of God while working on a construction site, or from behind a desk, or as a short order cook, or teaching school, or performing surgery. A good example of a surgeon, the greatest brain surgeon in the entire world, is Dr. Ben Carlson. Carlson, I think it is. And he does everything with a kingdom mentality for God and through the power and grace of God. He's an absolutely brilliant neurosurgeon. So you see, he's living in the kingdom of God, and he's doing this incredible surgery. So it doesn't matter. There's always the ability to import a higher quality of energy and light and to open the heavens over wherever you happen to be positioned so that you are a transduction device for greater light to flow down through your biophysical organism and radiate out through your thoughts, words, and deeds. You step it down and transmit it out. So the kingdom of God is a higher perspective. It's a life lived to a higher standard of values and moral integrity, but most of all, it's a life ever focused upon giving your very best to whatever you do and making a difference wherever you are with whatever you've got to offer. So living like that has probably become second nature to most of you listening to these seminars. So now we need to progress beyond to what is next. And what is next requires a major shift in how we see ourselves and how we view our function in this world. For example, some have been settling for spiritual infancy and childhood, thinking that's all one had to do. You read the Bible or other spiritual books, and you go to church or your little spiritual groups. Maybe you meditate. You try to be a good person. You try not to lie, you know. And you're looking forward to the coming of Christ, that Jesus would return. And, or you're really looking to return to Jesus and heaven when you die. But, you know, the spiritual dimension is not like that. You don't leave the earth to go to God in heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. The doorway is through inner access. It's through soul, the soul gate. It's through a higher dimension of awareness that allows entrance into the secret things of God, which is your right to enter when you have been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. That, of course, is the very first thing you have to do. We cannot have this dialogue if you're still living like a person that's never, ever made a commitment to Christ. But the spiritual dimension is where your spirit resides right now. It's never left home. Your spirit is part of God's spirit, even though it's individualized and presents as your soul down into your physical body. Nevertheless, it's that part that has been quickened and resides in eternal life with God right now. And it's never left home. And that part of you that needs to take the next step into spiritual maturity is actually your human mind. Here's where it gets really interesting and where some big keys are lying. The Hebrew word for mind is yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. And yetzer means that which forms as an image, an inner image. And that inner image is what you'd call your soul vision or your mind. That's your mind. As opposed to the ego mind, which is the false sense of separate identity. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the God mind that has as its nature image transmission. So in that capacity, we are a function of the divine mind and our ability to image, to outpicture, first in our mind and then in the world, a higher divine idea or principle. So get that clearly. Your God mind is designed to house and transmit divine imagery. You know, I really think that's why all forms of divination and idolatry and soothsaying and mediumism was condemned in the Bible, because that particular expression is what the ego uses to try to control and manipulate in the lower world. That's the worldly use of the lower mind. But when in the scriptures it says, don't make any graven images of anything in the heaven or in the seas or upon the earth, and don't bow down and worship or serve them. Idolatry was really, really prohibited. And I think it's because we are to go within and see through soul vision and attune our mind, as it says in the scriptures, so that our mind may be conformed to the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And as I've told you in other seminars, that's the function of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that comes to indwell you as a living temple when you have become born again. That divine spirit that teaches you how to form divine images in your mind that are in harmony and one with the God mind, which in the scriptures is called the living word. So it has a sound element in it. In the higher dimensions, you always have light and sound. And the two, they almost function back to back. So depending upon the intention and the dimensional placement of that divine energy, it will manifest in the very beginning as the word, but at another level it then becomes densified into the image. And Jesus was the first born mirrored reflection, perfect image of the Father in a human form. That's why he's called the Son of God and the Son of Man, and the firstborn in a whole family of Christed sons and daughters of God, which would be you and me. So now, even as he was the very image of the Father, the spiritual all that is, that has no form, he was the exact image of that, what he terms his Father in heaven. And that's why he is the model and the archetype that we are all designed to conform to. Not as, you know, like carbon copies, where we lose any individuality, but as who we are, but brought into perfect conformity with the divine yetzer, the divine mind, that is holding that image of collective sonship, or the Christ, the collective Messiah, Christ meaning the anointed one. So we are the anointed ones. That image out picture, that which is in the mind of God, which is that his kingdom would come and his will would be done upon earth as it is in heaven. So the higher dimensions are seen, quote-unquote, through soul vision. Now, we could probably say, instead of so much television, we need to practice seeing inwardly through our soul vision. So, don't despair, because I'm going to be going into it very specifically how to do that. It's probably a lot easier than you could imagine, but it does take a certain attention to get the hang of it until it becomes second nature. So we see the kingdom of God through soul vision, through the Yetzer, or higher mind, that can form higher imagery. And this higher mind vision, or soul vision, is what I have often referred to as a direct awareness and knowing. And you can't get it secondhand. There's no way that you can get that through anything but cooperating with the Holy Spirit within you and being taught. And, you know, I will give you reference points to what to look for and how to work with it, because I've been operating in this for some time now and I'm beginning to get some revelation as to what exactly I've been doing. It's just become kind of second nature to me. So again, you see this kingdom of higher consciousness, the kingdom of God through soul vision, and soul vision is direct awareness of the divine in, as, and through all things. Now, when you're in that state, it's not like clairvoyancy where you see auras and angels and devils and whatever. You are simply, initially, it's like you have those divine glasses where you just notice the beauty of life, the beauty and divinity and loving radiating through people and everything around you. And that's the sight that comes when you just have an open heart, when you don't have any grievance or unforgiveness upon your heart. You feel good about yourself and about the world in which you live, and that primes the pump for your being able to see and operate in that higher level. So you experience a sense of goodwill and loving benefaction towards everyone. And you notice whatever is of good report, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is wholesome and endearing. That's all that you notice all the time. It's very interesting when you're living in the kingdom of heaven, your vision and what you notice is very, very heavenly. And this is what you notice because this is your mental image. Your mind focus is releasing through your awareness. And when it releases that higher imagery, and you're seeing through that higher vision, at the same time, it releases an upward rush of positive energy, which feels like joy, a sense of great well-being that you can't point to anything in the world and say, oh, I'm happy because of. No, it's an inner well that bubbles up from within you like a fountain of living water. And that's the releasing of the energy of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rises up with God empowerment from your innermost spirit. And you have a sense of peace and happiness that radiates as light into this world. And that's what it seems like, feels like, and is like when you're living from soul vision. And you're seeing through the inner image and the imaging of that mind that was the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. So the Yetzer image-making mind of Jesus was only focused upon what the Father was doing. He said that he only did what he saw the Father doing. That means that he had to look through his soul vision to see what the Father was doing so that he could obey him and do his will in all things in his life. And it says that he was completely without sin, which means that he never ever wavered or departed from his attunement with the will of the Father. He didn't have any giving in or coming into agreement with the flesh or the world or the devil, even though all three really sorely tempted him. He consistently countered every attack of the dark forces with the word of his Father. So the big shift for us as light workers comes when we transfer our focus from what am I going to do to what is God doing here in this situation? What's this all about? What's happening here in the spirit? And instead of deciding what you're going to do with your day, you stop and you attune and you say, okay, Father, I've just awakened and I'm reporting for duty. What are we going to do today? What's the plan? How can I serve you, Father? How can I serve in facilitating the entrance of a higher quality of divine life into this world? And then you just are very quiet and you allow the divine impartation of awareness to drop into your mind. It drops in. It appears in. It's not about thinking or trying to figure something out. It just drops in when you have a quiet mind. You never have to think. You just allow awareness to occur. And you focalize your intention towards what you want to be aware of course. So you tune into the essence of your day and you look through your soul vision to see what God is doing, what's happening in the higher kingdom that you can see working itself out on the earth, for example, or in your particular arena of influence. There's always something that you're there doing that has nothing to do with what it seems to be in the outer world. For example, it might look like you're going to a rock concert. But you know what? It has nothing to do with a rock concert or you're going there. But if you find yourself there, you are going to be utilized multidimensionally to facilitate the opening and entering of a higher quality of availability to the people in that group. You are mediating as a high priest in officiating in the entrance and the calling forward of an atmosphere that is divinely charged into that whatever, rock arena or a place, a factory where you're working, whatever, whatever. Just know that you're officiating in the entrance of a particular divine energy and be sensitive to that. Don't just numb out and go to sleep and get into collective mass consciousness and scream and act stupid and lose awareness of who and what you are and what you're about. There's no time for stupidity anymore. We have to, you know, pony up and be what we've come and vowed and volunteered to be and do down here, which is ever-expanding divine awareness. And ministering services in action and a movement of spiritual inner awareness that is moving a more gracious, loving, humane, and balanced and just energy into every place that we happen to be. We're not trying to change the world. We're not trying to be the keepers of the shoulds, but we're the presenters of the coulds and the possibilities that most people don't take any time to tune into has even a vague possibility. So we're vision presenters, vision carriers, futurists with a bright and beautiful, hopeful, heaven-kissed vision that would brighten so many hearts and minds if they had the slightest inkling of what you and I take for granted every day. The hellacious states that most people live in, inwardly and outwardly, is exactly a match for how they see themselves and how they view their world and what they have magnetized in their personal orbit as their quote-unquote life. So it is said in the scriptures that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we are the ambassadors and importers of the kingdom of God, of these higher dimensional ways of life to earth And to fulfill our mission, we need to spread our fledgling wings and attempt to fly. And our manner of flying involves our developing an increasing sensitivity to the divine currents of the Holy Spirit. Because of ourself, we do nothing. But we come into alignment with the current and we allow it to carry through us into action, which is anointed and God-appointed, and therefore always has a beneficial effect. It's not a matter of our being successful or doing things right. It's our facilitation and our ability to come into sensitive discerning of how to operate and flow with the currents of the Holy Spirit, which is always very gentle, non-intrusive, and never violates the free will or the consciousness of anyone or anything. It's always a gentle invitation to come to the wedding supper of the Lamb, which is another way of describing that. A banquet has been prepared in the presence of the Lord in all the heavenly realms and inhabitants. Come and feast. So this developing of sensitivity to the divine currents of the Holy Spirit is another way of checking in to see what God is doing in any given situation, and then joining in however we can. For example, I go to church each Sunday. It's a very large, charismatic church. And when I enter the door, I'll sense a certain atmosphere in the spirit. And as I sit there in fellowship with my friends, I look both inwardly and outwardly with my eyes to sense and intuit what God is doing with that particular group of people, including the, you know, the small pod group that I sit with, as well as the many people in that congregation, and I'll just get a sense overall of what's being done. But then the vision that I'm given will begin to expand across the United States, and I'll see what's happening in other churches throughout the nation at that moment that are also gathering for worship. And then I'll expand my awareness across the planet, and I'll just watch the energies as it flows and what's, you know, because it's interesting. It's like, you know, the Bible has a beautiful way of giving you word imagery. You know, it presents the truth in images that go beyond the words. And the image that caught in my mind as I was just now speaking was the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are right towards him. Well, we know that God is not him. We know God doesn't have eyes like humans. God is a spirit. But the word imagery conveys a vigilant awareness that is sweeping the earth and seeking inlets and gateways and dimensional apertures into the earth to source grace. You know, the Holy Spirit is being poured forth on all flesh at this time. But, and, you know, the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams, to quote the scriptures. What does that mean? It means that this imaging of God's mind has to find its way into the human condition, either through the visions of those who are not too heavily conditioned so that they're open to them, or in a person who is a little more conditioned, they put them to sleep and let them have dreams. So the age, I think, has to do with the level of conditioning that we take on, the level of dust and carnality that comes upon us just by virtue of being in the body and conditioned for many, many years. So So it implies there is a searching for entrance into this dimension, which can only come through the human soul. There is no other means through which God can operate in this world. And to even begin to operate through you, you have to be born again. Because Jesus said that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again of the Spirit. You have to be spiritually lit up. You've got to have your switch turned on. You've got to have that debt of sin washed off your body, mind, heart, and soul. All that crap's got to be washed off you by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is the only stain remover in the cosmos that will remove the stain of sin. So you have to be washed in the blood, which means you've got to be given a whole new life. And when you come, and that's, as I've said before many times, that's simply by your requesting that of Jesus. Of Jesus, yes, he was the only one sent to save you and to pay your debt of sin. No one else went to the cross for you. And no one else raised his body from the dead but Jesus. And he did that for you. So he released this kingdom enablement for every single one of us and made it possible for us to have this dialogue tonight. And this opportunity offered. But without us coming in to alignment with God and beginning to see like Jesus, what's the Father doing here? What is God doing here? In my home, in my family, in my workplace, in my church, in my synagogue, in whenever, wherever I am. What is God doing? What's happening here? What's really happening here? What's really going on? And look beyond the outer details. I have a very dear friend right now who happens to be on the streets. And as much as I've prayed, that person is still on the streets. So I asked, I said, what's really going on here? What's really happening here? And the Lord showed me very clearly that that's the only way that this person would be brought to a position where she could experience God's miraculous way of turning things around when you have no resources, nobody to turn to, every door is closed, you have only God. And so, even though outwardly it looks horrible, it looks like hell, what the Lord is doing is entering into her life to prepare and reposition her for her kingdom, destiny, and inheritance. And it's interesting because I normally would be a person that would rush in and try to help that person. But I'm in a position now where there's absolutely nothing I can do. But pray and hold the light and hold the image of this person being able to be strong enough to hold that hope, hold that vision, hold that faith, and learn how to walk with God and depend upon God. And it reminded me back when I was around that person's age, when I had my season of being homeless and my husband being unable to find work for years and family and friends turning a back on us. You know, nobody wants to be there when you need help. Did you ever notice? And the last thing they want to hear is how hard your life is. Their life is hard enough without having to listen to your hard story and your hard, you know, hard times. I'm speaking about the world here. But that's how I learned to trust and walk by faith and not by sight, and to learn to rely upon God. Because I was a person that has worked and been on my own since I was 12 years old. I've always taken care of myself. And even when I had a husband, I was usually the breadwinner. I was always the one that took care of everybody. How interesting to be in a place in my life and in a situation where every single thing that happens has to be imported by God into my life, and I have nothing to do with it. Well, I have something to do with it. I've moved into the kingdom of heaven, and I walk by faith and not by sight, and I don't rely on my own understanding, but I walk by the light of the Word of God. So, I can speak through direct experience. That when you make God's business your only business, and the service of humanity your very heartbeat, then God will take care of you like a nation takes care of its ambassador. Everything is covered, everything is provided, so that you're released to do the work of that nation that you represent. And we represent the holy nation of Almighty God and His Christ. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will assume kingship on this new earth, and we will co-rule and co-reign with Him. So, developing that sensitivity so that we see in soul vision through the inner awareness doesn't necessarily need to have your eyes closed. I think that's where people get hung up. They want to see with their third eye, and I'm talking about something that's much higher than looking out of your third eye. I'm speaking about direct perception of the heart mind of God through your spirit, spirit to spirit, through the dimensional eye of your soul's vision. Different than that psychic stuff, metaphysical stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a sight that can only be released in people who have absolutely sold out to Jesus Christ. They're absolutely His. And when you belong to the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Master alike of all angels and all men, the one whose name is the highest name in all of the heavens, who has the greatest authority upon heaven and upon earth, that one day every single tongue will proclaim Jesus is Lord, and every single knee will bow. Yeah, that's what the scriptures say. Wow. When you belong to Him, wow, you get the Father's kingdom. You get the Father. You get everything. The whole divine enchilada is yours. Wow. So we need to learn to operate as the princes and princesses of the kingdom, which actually we're being taught how to do that now, because none of us have a clue, really, how to do that. It hasn't been time to do it except for now. Now is the time. So what is God doing? You know, God speaks, as I just got through saying, in pictures. And for me, I've had a prophetic gift since I was a child, and really operate in it all the time now, very much so. And God speaks to me by showing me pictures in my mind. And there's always some inner image that forms when I, quote, quote, look. And just have my eyes, you know, unfocused and open, and I can look. And very often when people will ask me a question or something, I'll say, wait, let me look. And I'm just silent, and I'll either be gazing off in the distance, or I'll be looking down, or maybe I'll have my eyes closed. But it just forms as an image in my mind. And then the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to interpret. that image. And it's not for me. It's for whoever has evoked that gift, that prophetic gift that flows through me. So an image, an inner vision, is usually of a scene or a scenario or a sudden insight into a situation that just is a direct knowing. And it comes with the words, it comes with everything. Everything is given. In the kingdom of heaven, everything is a free gift that you open to receive. That's your big key. You open to receive it. And your development is to trust and obey and make room for the Holy Spirit and step out in faith to activate the gift. The gift is always activated as you, for example, if you're going to pray for someone for healing, all you do is lay hands on them and speak the word. Jesus already purchased their healing on the cross. So nobody's a healer, but a person that is being prayed for can release their faith when you lay hands on them or you're praying with them. And Jesus said when you say the word of faith for healing and you're not doubting that healing will be received. So even though it doesn't look like the person's healed, then it may be a process with that person. That's none of your business. That's between God and that person. They're healed. They were already healed 2,000 years ago. And in time and space, it will catch up and manifest to them in the perfect way and timing. Even if it's on the other side after they cross over, because sometimes the healing is being released from this dimension entirely. So again, you don't second guess what God is doing with any given situation. You just come into cooperation with it without any kind of prejudging of it. So here's how you can begin to practice next time you're in a church or a similar group gathering. Ask God, what are you doing here right now? What do you want to happen here? And then you might just be divinely impulsed immediately to act without any kind of image, without any kind of anything. You just may suddenly find the Holy Spirit leading you to do whatever it is you do. Or you may find that mental images start occurring to you. So it's not thinking, it's noticing what comes up into your awareness. Make that distinction. It's not thinking, it's noticing what comes up in your awareness. So right now, ask God, what are you doing? What are you doing right now as I listen to this seminar? And ask in every situation in which you find yourself, Lord, what can I do for you here? What do you want to be released here? And you know what it is. It's always going to be love, light, forgiveness, divine order, divine balance, divine protection, divine harmony, activating of gifts, preparing people's minds and hearts to receive the gospel and turn to Jesus and receive salvation. You know, you can ask that the spirit of deafness and blindness that keeps people from seeing and hearing the gospel, that those blinders and those earplugs be spiritually removed by grace. It's a very good prayer. You can pray for people that are under a severe bondage of addiction of some sort, that they might receive help in the way that will get through to them to deliver them out of that situation, or that they might get to a place where they cry out to Jesus. Because it says in the scriptures that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, you know, anybody, whosoever, can call. You know, just yell, Jesus, help. That's enough. So you can pray that they get to that place. You can pray hedges of protection around your children so they don't fall in with bad company that leads them to their downfall or to adopting bad habits. So you can observe the person or the people in the group that you're with, and you can sense in the spirit where there are strongholds of darkness that are waging war in their minds and in their emotions and in their bodies. It's waging war against their entering the kingdom of heaven through salvation. You can actually feel the warfare sometimes and the energies that are raging over places where people congregate, because the dark forces certainly don't want people coming to the light. So we are conduits of God's kingdom and divine functionaries who, like Jesus, only do what we see and discern in our soul vision that the Father is doing. And then we align our actions and cooperate with that. So we are continually representing, imparting, and dispensing this higher dimensional light and life and love wherever we are and whatever we're doing. So it's an ordinary life outwardly, because we certainly don't separate ourselves from the world, but a very extraordinary life in terms of the ways that we choose to exercise our priorities and our self-direction. And that is what reveals who we are. As for ourselves, we're silent about who we are. We don't make claims. We allow our lives to reveal whom we serve and in whose authority we operate. So you have an image-making mind, a God mind that sees with God and into the godly realms, so that a world of peaceful coexistence and harmonious goodwill can emerge. Because God's plan is to expand the divine kingdom realms into all of these lower dimensions eventually. I mean, not for, you know, probably a long time in terms of time, but that's the plan. Is that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and no one will even have to be taught anything about God anymore, because everyone will have the knowledge of God. Everyone. I'll be out of work because they won't need anybody like me doing shows like this. And there'll be more work. There'll be another universe. There'll be another something, because our work with God and His kingdom is eternal and ongoing and ever creative and ever new and ever unfolding from glory to glory. So everyone within the sound of my voice was born for this time and handpicked by God to introduce His kingdom upon earth. And beloveds, many things will happen before the new earth appears. And it will eventually be under the rulership of the Christ, along with us, as His collective body or bride, His garment of light spread forth. And we are under a powerful divine radar, so to speak. And we need to release expecting anything to be normal or humdrum or boring in our lives ever again. From this point onward, things will be moving so fast that we will need to pay attention to God like a cadet pays attention to his drill sergeant. Get that word imagery, because that's the one that burns in my mind as I say this. Just like a cadet is attentive to his drill sergeant, we need to be suited up and soldiered up and spit polished and ready to be mobilized in a moment's notice. The next prophetic event looming upon the horizon is the great collective catching away, which is a supernatural gathering up of the people of God to be with Christ. And it's a word picture, again, presented in the scriptures, of a sudden snatching out of this world and a sudden gathering to Christ. And to be part of that great ingathering, we have to be looking expectantly for the appearing of the bridegroom, the appearing of the Christ. Because only those who are expectantly watching for him will see him. So begin right now to imagine Christ coming for you. Begin to think about that all times of the day and night, because we don't know when that great catching away will occur. So think about it every day, many times a day. Will he come for me today? And if he came this instant, would I be ready to join him, to be supernaturally transported from this mortal body and transformed into a body of light? Now, this is it. No more life in the old human body, no human form. Scriptures give the word picture of us being instantly, in a twinkling of an eye, transferred from mortal, corruptible bodies to immortal, incorruptible, resurrected bodies of light. Young, perfect, whole, exactly like the resurrected body of Jesus. Think about it. Wow. And the 10 prophetic signs of the generation that was going to actually experience this great catching away, we're living in that generation, because never before in the history of the world have all 10 of those signs been fulfilled prophetically. So you can tell by what God is doing in the world, what time it is in the prophetic scenario, and what is next in line on the event horizon to take place. But please don't bother your head with trying to figure out dates or times or how this sudden snatching away will occur. Just keep your soul vision focused upon what God is doing, because only the Father knows the timing and the details. So if you're watching for Jesus expectantly and looking through your soul vision and watching what the Father's doing in any given moment, you can be in harmony and in attunement with that current of spirit that one day will breathe you from this level into your eternal divine estate and inheritance. So be so heavenly minded that you are far more aware of what the latest happenings are in the kingdom of God than you are what's happening in the media and in this world. The news in the world is for the purpose specifically of distracting you and controlling your mind through fear. It is never the goal of the news to share the good news that would lead you to the kingdom of heaven. So instead, it's your prerogative to choose to fill your mind with the good news that God's kingdom has come, and his will is being done on earth in your life today and through you. Jesus said to his disciples, "This day the kingdom of God has come to you." You know, he was announcing himself. So make your life that the kingdom of God and live in it. And know that we will co-rule and co-reign as co-equal heirs with the Christ upon the new earth within the new heavens, or wherever the Father has prepared for us to be. Wherever it is, we know it's going to be good, and we're going to have a job to do in a heaven and a heavenly kingdom that never ends. So let's go out chanting. And let's see. Again, let's chant the beautiful name of Jesus in Hebrew. Yeshua. Deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena, and we've been discussing the master keys to enable us to operate in the kingdom of God, even while we're still dwelling upon this earth. God bless you. Have a great week. And God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Adonai.